Good evening. How was dinner?
Good.
Yeah? Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. The elk was very good. I had a double portion, right? High protein. It was wonderful. I will tell you that it's a lot of fun to see Eowyn standing in front of a table frustrated. Right? She's like, oh. I'm like, what's wrong, girl? She's standing in front of the desserts table. She goes, I can either have one of those, or one of those, or two of those. Right? And I thought, she's been negotiating with Carol. Yeah, that's a good dilemma to have. Let's pray to start off the evening this evening. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful group of people, for the way you've touched their lives, Lord, for the way you have transformed them and are continuing to transform them. Lord, guide us closer and closer to you with every night that we spend dedicated to connecting with you and learning more about you, which includes tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was invited to a somewhat upscale party once in my life. Just once, right? I showed up and there were a bunch of people there who I didn't know. There was one family, the host, who I did know. It was a number of years back, right? And I was trying to get a sense of who everybody was and what their roles were in this community. And there was one man in particular who people seemed to approach a little bit differently, let's just say. Well, I found out after sitting next to him for a while that he had tragically and suddenly lost his wife. And people were coming up trying to give him comfort with the best hearts that they could and the best words that they could. And as I listened to them speak, my heart broke for this man. He was trying his best to try to just fit in, trying to do his best to not let on that he was hurting inside. And one person after another would come up to him and say words that I felt fell significantly short. In fact, one person walked up to him and shook his hand and looked him right in the eye. And this was the way he tried to encourage him. He said, think positive. Think positive. And I just sat there and I thought in my head, no, no, that doesn't cut it. Don't get me wrong, I believe in thinking positively, but if I ever lose Carol suddenly, if I lose that amazing intimacy that we've developed over nearly 20 years, and I know I'm not getting that back, think positive doesn't cut it. Not even close. The host of the party came over to me and asked me to talk to him. I've never met this man before, and I thought, maybe this is why I am here. Maybe this is why I've been invited. So I went over and introduced myself to this man and asked him if he'd like to talk. He said yes. We went to a back room, and we started to speak with one another about how he was handling his grief. And as he relayed to me what it is that he believed, it moved everywhere from reincarnation to aliens. And I can tell you that as I sat there listening to him explain his framework for belief and watching his body language, I noticed that not even his own words were comforting him. He was grasping at straws. I believe in thinking positively. Like I said, I believe that we need to have goals and aim for them and hit them. But I also believe that those comfort us a lot like chocolate Frosties at Wendy's. Great for a short period of time, but they fail miserably in the long term. Those things in the absence of Jesus Christ fall short. I believe that thinking positively works if you know that someday you'll be with Jesus. Having goals and hitting them for the glory of God, that's something different. What I'm trying to say is this, Superficial living will never help us stand against the pressures and problems that we face in life. There needs to be something more. I found this quote, and I love it. It goes, "A superficial life which neglects God can never give us a firm foundation for true happiness." I'm going to say that one more time. A superficial life which neglects God can never give us a firm foundation for true happiness. Which brings us to our second beatitude today, which is, blessed are those who mourn. Doesn't that sound like a paradox? Happy are those who mourn. Another way that you might think of it if you start substituting words are, happy are those who are sad. Is that what Jesus is actually teaching us? The answer is no, it's not. But first, I want to start with a definition of the word mourn. It means to feel deep sorrow, to show great concern, and this is important, to deplore some existing wrong. To deplore some existing wrong. The first thing I think about when I think of mourning is the death of a loved one. You might be the same. Or you think about that deep sadness. And I believe that when we feel that loss, we should feel deep sadness. Per our theology, per our faith, if sin is what causes death, we should never be comfortable with what it is that sin produces. And I believe that it is that situation that draws us closer towards Jesus, where we have to ask ourselves what the solution to that problem is, and it brings us to the foot of the cross. We should mourn. We should feel great loss, but we should understand how Jesus combats that. That's one way of looking at mourning in the context of, blessed are those who will mourn, for they shall be comforted. Unfortunately, most people stop right there. This definition takes things further. When you understand that what is being said is, blessed are those who deplore some existing wrong. Blessed are those who deplore some existing wrong. Why is that? Why is that? And I believe that Jesus is talking about two different types of existing wrongs, both external and internal, both things that we see happening around us and then also things that are happening inside of us. There was a young man who I knew back when I was just out of college. His name was Matt. He went to Perrysburg High School, and he was kind of the proverbial geek. All right, real pale skin, dark hair, loved drama, always nice and avoided conflict until one day. One day in particular. He came out of class, he was walking down the hallway, and then walking towards him was a special needs student. Behind that special needs student was another student mimicking the movements of the special needs student, making fun of him while a group of kids were laughing, following. Matt met this guy in the hallway and just punched him right in the face. I heard about this, and when I ran into Matt, I said, Matt, what happened? And his response was, I just saw red. And he wasn't talking about the blood pouring out of this kid's nose, right? I just saw red. Now, as the compassionate person that I am inside, I think to myself, yes! Right? Yeah! Way to get him. Now, there may have been another way to handle it, a better way. Maybe not. I'll let you be the judge of that. But this is how the story ended. Matt was sent down to the principal's office. This kid went down to the principal's office with his bloody nose and a rag in his hand. The parents were called of the injured student. Parents come into the office. The principal explains the situation. The parents look at their kid with this bloody nose and ask, is this true? And the kid admitted, yes, that's what I was doing. And the parents looked up and said, he deserved it. And Matt didn't get in trouble. Yeah, see, so, yeah.
There are other people who feel the same way I do, right? What happened?
Matt deplored an external wrongdoing. This somewhat passive, non-confrontational kid. It turns out that these parents felt the same way that he did. But how would Matt feel if he did nothing at all? How would he have to reflect on himself? I think all the way into adulthood, Matt would look back on that situation and say to himself, why didn't I do something? Why didn't I stand up? What does it say about me that I didn't do anything? Did I lack the courage? Did I feel like I lacked the strength? Why didn't I do something? Why didn't I do something? Not doing anything, I believe, would deteriorate a part of himself that is highly important. It would deteriorate him at his core. And I believe that what Jesus is saying here, principally, is happy are those who deplore an existing wrong and do something about it, for they will be comforted. Something inside of them will be right. As I mentioned before, deploring that existing wrong doesn't stop externally. It also applies internally. The best people that I know are the people who are capable of looking at their own lives, noticing that they have deficits, shortcomings, and sins, and they're able to address them, meet them head on. They deplore what they see inside of themselves enough to do something about it. These are the type of people who I believe in life are the most refined. They may even have friends that they can go to and ask those friends, do I have this problem? Because they want to get it out of their lives. The man who is quick to anger and is willing to acknowledge it and the damage that it does and hates it enough to fight it, I believe that he will be comforted. What happens if he ignores it? If he doesn't mourn it enough? People will want to escape him. They'll walk on pins and needles around him. He'll experience the loss of good friends. The woman who gossips regularly, talks about all of her friends behind their back, and then realizes that she's doing it, so she just shuts it down. What is her life like when she's able to do that, as opposed to if she continues to gossip, when nobody trusts her, when she finds herself outside of what would be intimate relationships, people whose materialism drives them to spend money they don't have, puts them into debt, when they're willing to admit that wrong, when they deplore it enough that they do something about it, they'll be comforted. On the flip side of all of these, what happens if they don't, all right? They will experience anything but comfort. Happy are those who deplore wrongdoing and do something about it, for they will be comforted. My prayer is that as we go through, or as we rather learn about this aspect of what it means to mourn, that we too can look at those external and internal wrongdoings, meet them head on, and be comforted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it sounds like a paradox. Happy are those who mourn. We know that's not true. We know that what you are saying, or rather, let me step back, Lord. We know that the words you said are true. But with further understanding, we know that what it means is that we are to deplore wrongdoings outside of our lives and inside of our lives in such a way that we act You expect action out of your believers. And through that action, Lord, we'll know the truth will be set free. And we will be comforted. We thank you for the words of your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you for being here this evening.